I'm loving the graphic on the screen. Thank you very much. I like the leafy look. Our scripture reading today, I wish to turn your attention to Luke chapter 5. We read the first 11 verses. So if you can see on the screen, then do follow or follow in your own version or device or book. But Luke chapter 5 reads like this. One day, as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. He noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push it out into the water. So he sat in the boat and taught the crowds from there. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Now go out where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish." "Master," Simon replied, "we worked hard all night and didn't catch a thing." "But if you say so, I'll let down my nets again." And this time, their nets were so full of fish, they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boats, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell on his knees before Jesus and said, "Oh Lord, please leave me. I'm too much of a sinner to be around you." For he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught, as were the others with him. His partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. Jesus replied to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people." And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus.
Now, Jeremiah has a special item for us, I believe. Come on, Jeremiah.
"Smiling, but happy night. God will take care of you. Beneath these wings of love abide. God will take care of you.
God will take care of you.
So I heard the story of the archaeologists, the people were digging, and they were digging in England. And they dug down about 50 feet. And they discovered some copper wire. And they concluded that that maybe 500 years ago, that there was some kind of telephone communication in England. And then they moved to Scotland, and they dug down 100 feet. And they find these sort of strands of glass fiber, and they concluded that maybe 1,000 years ago, that in Scotland there was fiber optics. And then they moved on to Ireland, and they dug down 200 feet, and found absolutely nothing. And concluded that maybe 1,500 years ago, there was Wi-Fi. It may take a moment to work that one out, and then it's not so funny. But the deeper we go, and my subject today is about going deeper and trying to link with our theme of provision and of how God provides. And just to give a little bit of the game away then, I'm going to tell you, I think God provides for us when we go deeper with him. So there you have it. If you need to catch up on your sleep, now's your opportunity. If you want to follow my train of thinking, then follow me on this course. You see, we have this expression, and I know there's other people from other countries here. I wonder if other countries have something similar. What does it mean when you dip your toe into something? You try something. It's a bit sort of non-committal, is it? But you're going to dip your toe in. You're just going to try it out a little bit. I have a niece who this last summer we were out, went to the beach, and she was insistent that she didn't want to go in the sea. And lots of other people were getting their wetsuits on and so on. We're going to go into the sea. We're going. Aren't you going to come with us? I'll say who it is. Some of you know know this person, Abigail. No, I'm not going to go into the sea. Not today. Been into the sea too many times this week. But when we got to the beach, there was the sea and everyone else was playing nicely in it. So guess what she did? She decided to dip her toe into the sea. And then sort of roll her trousers up a little bit and start splashing and wading with her feet. And then going in deeper and deeper, and bit by bit her trousers were getting wet. And I think actually, did she actually go fully in and under the water, fully dressed? She started off just dipping her toe in. But after a while, she decided she was all in. If you turn your attention, and maybe you want to open Bibles to our scripture reading again, I just want to talk our way through this story a little and think about what it is about going deeper and God's provision for us. You see, this story happens, it's earlier on in the book of Luke, and prior to this, there's been this growing momentum, almost immediately seemingly, with Jesus and his influence on the people around him. So we could go back and just take up the story. We find that Jesus goes into a synagogue, and it seems as though this was regular, and he was held in some regard. Not just anyone could stand up and just start teaching, but he was held in enough regard that he was given the opportunity to talk. And he was handed a scroll of Isaiah. And my understanding of this isn't that, they just got to where they got to last time and he carried on reading. It seems as though Jesus finds quite deliberately a passage in Isaiah that makes a proclamation about himself. And he says, I am who Scripture is talking about. That particular passage we isolate it as Isaiah 61 nowadays. But Isaiah 61, let's see if I can see where I've got it referenced. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. These are the words that Jesus had read out. For he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. So Jesus then went on to say, the scripture you've just heard has been fulfilled this very day. Jesus was saying, this is me. This is me. This is who Scripture was talking about. And it caused a bit of a fuss. Really? Is this the Messiah? What's going to happen next? Now, I'm mindful of Isaiah 61. And just a little bit before, of a couple of chapters as we have it designated. In Isaiah 58, I think I've referenced this before, and I'm sure that I'll come back to it again in other times. But in Isaiah 58, it talks about worship and our worship of God. And while God had previously said, look, these are the ways that I want you to worship. And fasting, we often think of fasting. Oh, terrible talking about fasting with food on the platform. But we think about fasting, we just stop eating. But it's not just limited to that. And there is some other element that maybe we miss out on. So to fast is to stop one thing in order to benefit something else. So we might have a fast of our lunch, but it's not just to go without food. It's in order to give that time or that resource, that food, that money that we might have spent on that meal, in order to benefit someone else. That's what real fasting is about. But here we have these words from God through Isaiah, and he's blasting these people for this act of worship, this fasting. But they're doing it to make themselves look good. And then words that very similar to the words that Jesus had read out and said, this is me. God goes on in Isaiah 58 to say, look, this is what real worship is about. He says, no, this is the kind of fasting I want in verse 6 of Isaiah 58. To free those who are wrongly imprisoned. What's that got to do with going to church and worshipping? But God's saying, this is the worship I really want. Free those who are wrongly imprisoned. Lighten the burden of those who work for you. Really? I don't know if we always think about that as a way of worshipping. If we're the boss and we've got people that are subservient to us. To let the oppressed go free and remove the chains that bind people. Share your food with the hungry, and we're doing that in part with our harvest stuff here. To share, to give shelter to the homeless. To give clothes to those who need them. And do not hide from relatives who need your help. Just to come back to our story, Jesus had made this self-proclamation. I'm someone who is here to help people. Yes, it's right that we worship God. But could it be that there are amazing ways that we can worship God as we serve other people's needs. Maybe even that that's the best way that we can worship God, is serving other people's needs. So back to our story. Jesus had made this proclamation, and people were coming out and bringing their sick for healing. They were amazed at what Jesus was talking about and his teaching. And so it's no wonder that, again, they hear, Jesus is down by the beach. So they come out in their crowds. So crowded it was that they were pushing Jesus right up by the seashore. And maybe unlike Abigail, he didn't really want to be standing in the water. So what does Jesus ask to do? What did we read? He gets in the boat. Oh, clever idea, really, isn't it? If you need a platform, if you need a bit of a stage, probably people aren't going to wade in the water after you. So Jesus asks about, look, if I get in the boat, can you just push it out a little bit? Because people are packed around me. They're crowded around me. And then what does it say that Jesus does in the boat? It's an interesting detail. He sat down. Why do you think Jesus sat down in the boat? Yeah, well, maybe by the shore it's a little bit choppy that day. And it's sort of, I don't know, I think I might have been tempted to stand somehow. But it's a detail that's important. Because the Hebraic way is that the teacher sits down. And maybe I've said this before here, and I will probably say it again some other time. It appears through Scripture that Jesus sits down and people are standing. So if we ever have any discussion in the future about changing our chairs, I will suggest to you that we get one chair. That's for the preacher to sit in the middle, and you can all stand round. And then, of course, you will be praying for a short sermon. I will try to get to my point very quickly now. So Jesus sat down in the boat, and he's just a little way off the shore. He's still in the shallows, and he teaches everyone. Jesus teaches us in the shallows. It's a good place to be. It's a good place to learn. But where can we really experience the provision of Jesus? That comes next in the story. What does Jesus do when he's finished speaking? What comes next in the story? Yeah, come on guys, let's go fishing. So, well, yeah, very much a paraphrase, but I'm with you on it, Melody. He says, now go out where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish. Go out deeper. We can experience Jesus and his teaching in the shallows of life. But in order to experience the drama and the provision of God, we need to go out into the deep. Of course, and maybe you've heard other preachers say, it was the wrong time of the day. You know, Peter's response, Simon's response is, Master, we've worked hard all night. That's the time to go fishing. And there they were. They were mending and cleaning and fixing up their nets ready for the next night so that they could go home, have a nice little kip in that afternoon, ready for the next night's fishing. But something must have resonated with Simon, because he knows he is the expert at fishing, isn't he? And if he knew anything about Jesus, well, Jesus was a carpenter or a builder or something like that, and I'm the fisherman. Wouldn't it have been reasonable for Simon to look at Jesus and say, you don't know what you're talking about? Well, that's the way my mind works anyway. You don't say to a fisherman, middle of the morning, after he's just cleaned his nets, to say, look, I know I'm not a fisherman, but why don't you go out into the deep water and try catching fish again? It's not the right time. Simon is the expert. But Simon looks at Jesus, says, you know what? Because you've said so, it must have been because Simon has heard Jesus. Maybe not this is the first time. He's heard him before. And what Jesus says makes sense. What Jesus has said to Simon there in the shallows, it makes sense. So because Jesus makes sense in the shallows of life, maybe I will go out into the deep. What happens next? They all climb in the boat. They go out. I don't know if they rowed or there was a bit of wind that took them out in the sail. They're out in the deep water. And what do? Simple story. What do? They throw their nets out. And what happens? Surprise, surprise, there's fish. It's the wrong time of the day, but there's fish. There's not just a few fish. I mean, it kind of gets them out of a sticky situation because, you know, they're not earned anything if they're not caught any fish overnight. You know, imagine Simon going home, sorry, dear, didn't catch any fish today, not earned anything. Imagine working for a whole day and then not earning any money. But this time, there's so much fish. Peter is amazed. Simon's amazed. His friends, his work colleagues are amazed at what God has done. Jesus has said, go out into the deep, and they've cast their nets. And the boats are so full, they're starting to sink. What's the next detail in our story? What does Simon say? The boat's about to sink, and Simon, what does Simon do? He comes to Jesus. And what does he say to Jesus? It's a kind of an odd direction of travel, isn't it? Simon comes to Jesus and says, get away from me. Well, why didn't you get away from Jesus in the first place? Anyway, Simon goes to Jesus and he says, look, it's an act of repentance. It's an act of recognizing that he has made mistakes. But despite his mistakes, here is a miracle of provision from God. A miracle of provision like he has never seen before. Like he has never caught this much fish that his boat's starting to sink. Talk about provision. Did Simon experience provision from God in the shallows? No, he experienced the teaching of God. It's only when we push out into the deep, maybe doing something that we think, is this really sensible? God, are you sure about this, fishing in the middle of the day? It's only when we push out into the deep that we can experience the full, abundant provision of God. Don't be afraid. That's the way it was translated. From the Greek, it's not sort of don't be scared, you know, chattering of teeth and so on. It's not like that, the way that Jesus has expressed himself to Simon. It's more a matter of a sense in the Greek of stop being fearful. You see, Simon has listened to Jesus. Simon has responded to Jesus in going out into the deep. Simon has experienced Jesus in this full, abundant provision. And Simon is thinking, what on earth next? what next? And that's that kind of fear. What next? And then Jesus says, I'll tell you what next. I've got a job for you. What I find interesting is, where was Jesus when this part of the story took place? Where was Jesus? Jesus was in the boat. Jesus was there. Jesus was there with Simon as he launched out into the deep. Jesus was there when Simon experienced the abundance of provision from God. What I find extra interesting is, this is a fisherman. What do fishermen want? Fish. What has Simon just got? Fish. And what does Simon do when he gets back onto the shore? He pulls his boat up, and what does it say as we read? And as soon as they landed, there's our clue for where Jesus was. He was in the boat. As soon as they landed, they left, what? Everything. And followed Jesus. So my question's for you to ponder on this afternoon. Why did Simon leave the biggest catch of fish he had ever experienced? Why did he leave it all behind? And what is it that we might need to leave behind? Is there something in our lives that we are keeping ourselves back? That we're just staying in the shallows with God, but we're not allowing ourselves to go with God into the deep, to watch and experience the amazing provision of God in our lives? Are we limiting God by staying in the shallows and not pushing out into the deep? My suggestion to you is that God can only express his full, abundant provision in our lives when we're ready to push out with him into the deep. Where are you going to stay? In the shallow? Or the deep?
Thank you, Pastor Stickman, for that thought-provoking sermon. Let's now continue or bring our service to a close with the use of hymn number 430. This time it's in the New Advent Hymnal. It's Oh, the Deep.
We thank you for the way that you provide for us. Sometimes it's through the day by day, and maybe we forget to thank you for those things. Sometimes it's on occasions like this that we recognize your provision. Many of us don't grow our own food. We work and then we buy it from shops. Lord, we're thankful for its provision, or even the provision of work and employment. Lord, we thank you that we can provide for other people, locally and internationally. And it's that expression of your love that you're looking for us on a day-by-day basis, to help others as they have need. But Lord, we ask for your forgiveness for times when we have stayed in the shallows and that we have not pushed out into the deep. As we go from this place of worship, may we consider what it is that you're calling us to, which deep waters it is, even if things seem to be a little bit strange and a little bit fearful. Lord, would you be with us as we go out into the deep, and that we experience the abundance of your provision continually in our lives. We thank you for your provision in the past, your promises in anticipation of fulfillment of the future, and we thank you for being our friend. Amen.